The Squeaky Wheel.
Yes, this is The Squeaky Wheel, a weekly show about cycling and bikes and riding. It's usually hosted by Phil Smith, but I'm Peter Scott with you this weekend as Phil needed the weekend off. The regular co-host for Squeaky Wheel is Andrew Demack. Hello, Andrew.
G'day, Peter.
Great to see you once again on your bike.
It's good to be here.
And the subject of discussion today is cycling and women, so bikes and riding from a female point of view. Fewer women ride bikes. It's a fairly well-known fact around the place. I don't know what the figures are exactly. We might be able to delve into those fairly shortly. But it's a common thing around Australia that fewer women cycle than men. And it's not only an Australian thing by the looks of things. It seems that it's the same around the world. Late last year, British Cycling announced a campaign to get 1 million more women riding bikes in the UK by the year 2020. So why is it? Why do women tend not to ride bikes where men do? And what is happening to encourage women to give cycling a go? In this half hour, Andrew and I will be joined by three women who can firstly share their wisdom on the matter. They're all involved in programs or events to get women riding bikes, and then we can hear, after their wisdom, we can hear the sorts of programs and events that are on around the, certainly the eastern states of Australia anyway, to encourage women to ride bikes. From Bicycle New South Wales, we have Donna Little. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Peter. How are you going?
Thanks very much for coming in today. From the Melbourne organisation, The Squeaky Wheel, we have Pip Carroll.
Hello.
Thanks very much. And from Brisbane Cycleaway, and Cycleaway is an organisation that delivers the Bicy Gals program for Bicycle Queensland, Jan Stevenson. Hi, Jan.
Hello, Peter.
Great to have all of you in the studio. Firstly, we might ask you, Andrew, firstly, from Bicycle Queensland, I mean, you look at these participation figures and it's quite clear, isn't it, that men far outweigh the number of women riding bikes.
Yeah, and I think certainly there's all sorts of societal reasons why that might be the case. It's pretty good, though, from our perspective, to have as many women's voices as we can telling these stories, and that's kind of why we lined up the guests we have. And so I think I should sort of speak as little as possible in this particular version of The Squeaky Wheel.
I think I'll keep my trap shut as well.
Yeah, and try and get on and hear from the wonderful guests we have.
All right, so let's just put it out there, and I'll look at you, Donna, first, but if the other guests would like to chime in as well. What is it about cycling that puts women off?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's probably a lot of reasons. Thankfully, I think women's cycling is actually on the increase, even though it's still out of balance. But, I mean, some of the things that we hear a lot of the time are just a lack of confidence, so a lack of skills, just balancing, changing gears, that kind of thing. They just don't know what to do and they're scared to try it out in public. Also, another thing is they're worried about traffic. They're worried about being able to get around, cycleways not connecting up, that kind of thing. So I think that puts people off. Women do, when they're starting out, they like to have it a little bit laid out for them, and from there they build their confidence. So we're talking right back to grassroots level.
I see you're nodding your head, Jan. What do you mean? Why are you agreeing with the laid out for them?
Well, I actually use the example. There's three things that make women not cycle. They're not confident of their skills. They don't know where to ride. And the third bit is they don't have someone to ride with. That's a big thing with the Bicy Gals program. A lot of our ladies are coming along hoping to meet somebody who rides around their area so they can get together and do more regular rides. Mm. So that's a big thing. They just want company and they feel safer.
And that sounds like what you're trying to do with these programs is give people that company and to be able to meet friendships. Same sort of thing for you, Pip?
Yeah, essentially most of the programs we run for women place a heavy emphasis on the social aspects of riding and the after effects of riding, and that you get to have a chat about other things, you sort of share an experience with other women. It's not necessarily about the outputs of your ride in terms of how far or how fast you went, it's more about how it made you feel. But I think it's interesting to observe that in other countries where bike riding is sort of normalised as a transport mode, more women ride than men. And I think this is something which you see, like in Melbourne, for instance. Melbourne has the highest rates of female participation for bike riding. And that's probably because Melbourne has the highest rate of localised short trip transport riding of anywhere in Australia. And there was an interesting article by Jan Garrett a few years ago where she pointed out that basically women are much more likely to ride when in those situations where it's just a short trip to the shops, or it's something sort of connecting them to local amenity, or they're not sort of undertaking huge trips for long distances. So I think it's partly about kind of emphasising, you know, the solidarity women get when they're riding, but also about really trying to encourage the whole population to think about bike riding in a different way, so that we're actually thinking more about using bikes as tools for getting around that can really make our lives more simple.
And that's one of the things that that you're very concerned about, not just for getting more women riding, but getting people riding generally to be using their bikes as a transport option.
Absolutely. That's kind of the foundation of all of our activities. And I think that's also probably, if you think about the reasons why women don't do that, even it comes down to a lot of the ideas about real risk versus subjective perceptions of risk. And women are certainly much more risk averse than men. That's sort of statistically evident. And that we've also created this culture in which we sort of position bike riding as being something that's dangerous and difficult and involves a whole lot of kind of like secret knowledge that we have to sort of acquire once we begin to do it. And I think we need to strip all that away to encourage more people generally, but certainly more women to take part.
Let's talk about some of those risks then, the real and the perceived risks. So what risks really are there in riding bikes, and what risks are there that people think are there and aren't really as big a deal as people think?
Well, in my I do a lot of teaching ladies about cycling in traffic, and really no one's out there ready to hit a cyclist. You've got to be aware of what you're doing. So you've got to be seen, be aware, and be predictable. Ride as if you're the person in the car behind you, and do everything that indicates to that person behind you what it is you're doing. Don't sneak around corners.
That's an interesting statement. Ride as if you're driving the car behind you. Is that what you said?
Do exactly what you would want the person in front of you to do if you were the car behind them. And then the risk is minimised.
Women need a bit more encouragement to ride assertively and to be sort of dominate space on the road. And that's actually a risk factor in you know, having an accident. Is if you're more vulnerable if you're riding closer to the side of the road and ducking in and out of traffic, and you're riding tentatively. And I think that's something that women can certainly change in their behaviour, and the cultural environment can change to support women to do that more. That would make it safer for everyone.
Yes, a lot of cyclists tend to ride by the side of the road, but in some circumstances it's a lot safer for you to sit right in the middle of the lane, in some circumstances, than not. And it may be that there's a lack of assertiveness there that all of us, but particularly women, need to employ there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think that women do generally tend to hold back, and if they're not shown, hey, this is okay, it's okay to ride two abreast, it's okay to not, you know, ride, you know, directly on the curb. If they're shown that in a friendly environment, which is what we all try to do, then they pick up the confidence, and I think Jan's right about having somebody else to do that with rather than being alone and feeling alone. I think that makes a big difference as well.
One of the things I've always been interested in, Pip, is the way you've named your program Pushy Women, because it kind of, if you like, pushes back against the stereotype. Was that a deliberate thing?
I didn't come up with it. The name was created by our sort of program patron, Catherine Devaney. I'm not sure if you know of her, but she's
a
very outspoken woman.
Pushy in a good way.
She's not shy of having an opinion. And I think that's definitely a part of it. It's about really empowering women in lots of senses, empowering them to take up space on the roads, empowering them to be seen, empowering them to feel comfortable being in a really high... That's another thing, like, a lot of men don't really take into consideration. Women is also a kind of vulnerability of everybody looking at you and everyone seeing you there on the road. And you're much more visible when you're on a bike than you are if you're a pedestrian, you're on a tram, or, you know, you're in a car. And so it's just really encouraging women to take up space and to feel as though they have a voice and they have a right to be on the roads and they have just as much a right as anyone. And they also have the skills. It's not that hard to ride a bike. And that's what we really try and encourage, is to break down those barriers for women and by introducing them slowly and introducing them in contexts in which they can kind of, they understand the value, rather than sort of needing to subscribe to some idea of cultural value that they've attributed to bikes.
You're listening to The Squeaky Wheel. We're talking about particularly women and cycling, why women don't, and how we can encourage more women to be cycling. You're with Peter Scott, And Andrew Damack, the regular co-host for The Squeaky Wheel, and Phil Smith is away this weekend, which is why I'm filling in. In Melbourne, we have Pip Carroll, who is the founder of a Melbourne organisation called The Squeaky Wheel, which is really nothing to do with the radio program, but it just happens to share
the
name.
It's a good name, huh?
Yeah, it is a good name. Yeah, I don't know which came first, but anyway, from Bicycle New South Wales, Donna Little and Jan Stevenson from Brisbane Cycle Away that delivers the Bicy Gals program for Bicycle Queensland. More in a sec.
We're on the hunt for Australia's best working dog photos. We want your photo of working dogs at work, at play and at rest. Send us your photo and it could be in the next edition of Great Working Dog Stories. Just email your photo with a brief description to workingfarmdogs@your.abc.net.au. For more details, go to the ABC Radio website. Entries close Friday, March 7th. Proudly supported by ABC Local Radio.
Yes, ABC Local Radio this weekend. Peter Scott with you. I want to go through or go around the table to each of you ladies and talk about your experiences as a cyclist. So, Donna, when did you first become sort of a more regular cyclist? And, you know, why do you do it?
Sure. My husband's always cycled, so that's was a bit of a starter for me. And then I actually landed a job in the cycling industry and I really wanted to tuck in and know my product. So I got myself on a bike.
So you got a job first and then you got a bike?
Pretty much.
Almost.
Yeah, pretty much. I really wanted to be involved in the development side of things and managed to land that. So, husband was happy to outlay, but I guess what I found was... you know, men know everything, of course. So, and sometimes it's really hard for them to...
Best not to respond there.
No. Sarcastic chuckle.
It's really
hard for them
to pass on that really basic knowledge that I was craving, I guess, as a female. And I guess over the next few years, these ideas came to mind about how I can learn myself right back at the bottom, even down to just getting on a bike. And when I started working for Bicycle New South Wales, we developed the Gear Up Girl program. Basically, as a result of that, I really wanted to create that environment where it was comfortable. We talked about the things that you may not be able to ask a male, really basic things. And I wanted to create that for other women. I wanted to see other women feeling more confident. And it gave me more confidence to keep going with what I was doing. So I am a social rider. I love getting on the bike. I love doing a bit of mountain biking as well. But more than anything, I like being on the organising side. And I love what we're doing for Gear Up Girl and encouraging women.
So for you, if you weren't working for Bicycle New South Wales, then I get the feeling that you possibly wouldn't be a regular rider anyway? And is that because of a lack of knowledge?
Possibly. I mean, it's hard to say because I've been around in it now for so long. But, I mean, I probably would have dabbled in it being in the family. But who knows? I mean, there's definitely a fear factor that I had that I needed to overcome. Yeah, I'm happy to say that I have that. And I'm happy to share that with other people now more than sort of push it for myself.
Pip, what about you? Your personal experience with riding?
I suppose I started riding in my 20s, really, because I was living in urban areas and I had a car, but it wasn't really the most convenient way of getting around. I suppose it was a sort of cultural thing as well that some of my peers were riding and, you know, it was easier to ride together places, to go to the pub or, you know, get to back from work or whatever it might be. And really, I ride not because... I don't even think about it. I just ride because I need to go somewhere. Really, is the only reason I ride. It's like, why do I eat? Because I need to stay. I need to feed myself. So, I think that, yeah, that, and I suppose that experience of riding is just introducing women to that, realizing that it's really easy. It's really simple. It's actually easier and simpler than driving or catching public transport. And most often when I talk to other women, they sort of feel like, oh, there's just another level of complication I can't deal with a bike. You know, I've got to think about where to park it. I've got to, you know, I've got the helmet. I've got to change what I'm wearing. I've got to think about, I've got to learn all this stuff about what the equipment. And I think women don't understand that the experience of getting on the bike, going directly from A to B, chaining up, going to your destination, coming out, it actually simplifies your life and it makes you free from so many other shackles and things that tie you down, and that it can actually really liberate you rather than constrain you. And I think that's what we try and do with all of our programming, is to just give women an experience of it that is relevant to their own lives. Like, the journey begins with them right where they are right now. They don't need to sort of think about where it's going to go. It's like, right here, right now, where can we ride? How can we get you on a bike? And people think that it's not for them, or there's someone else that would be better at doing it. And that's where we just try and make people realise that it's really is as simple as riding a bike.
What about you, Jan?
Oh, I guess I was a child rider. And then in my mid-20s, I went on one of these adventure holidays where there was cycling involved.
Yes.
Well, that was the end of it for me. I came back and I got rid of the three-quarter bike, and I actually got something called gears. And then I started doing, actually, Victoria brought up a bike ride up into Queensland. The first Bundy to Brisbane was done by the Bicycle Victoria. Then we started on the Bicycle New South Wales rides. And then, thank goodness, Bicycle Queensland arrived, because it was getting a bit far for us to go. I'm a commuter, worked in the city, so I commuted every day. It just became part of my life. And then I became a tourer. So overseas, you know, take the bike, ride out of the airport, come home, ride out of the airport, ride home to your place, ride to breakfast on the way and say, hi, guys, back from being away for 3 months. And we started the company because we want other people to do that, not necessarily ladies, but other people to realise that the bike's not for Saturday and Sunday afternoon only. It's for holidays. You can take it. You can. I'm just about to go to America, and we've got to hire a car. My goodness, that's annoying. And you've got costs involved.
Yes,
you know,
right.
The bike, the fuel is that cake. At night time, you sit down. It always feels better after a shower. It's just so much fun. And you come home and you think, what a great holiday. Yeah, sometimes you need a rest when you get home.
So what you're saying is that when you get to the end of your meal in a restaurant and there's always that question, should I or shouldn't I have dessert, you will always say, yes, I need dessert because I need fuel for the bike.
Oh, Peter, I've just had 30 days in the Netherlands and they have something called apple cake. And they stupidly said, would you like cream with that? And I went, have you seen my treadle outside and my helmet, mate? Yes, of course we had the cream.
Fuel crisis.
Yes.
What fuel crisis? It's great. I want to now get on to what you do in your organisations to encourage women to cycle. So firstly to you, Pip, in the Squeaky Wheel and your Pushy Women program in Melbourne. What do you do?
Well, Pushy Women has a few different elements. It started out as a speaking event that with Catherine Devaney, who's a sort of writer and comedian. And so she picked 8 high-profile women, and it was really just an event. It was a stage event where they talked for 8 minutes each about a bike or bike riding. Some of them had never even ridden a bike before. And I think what we were intending to do with that was just to kind of start to shift the dialogue a little bit around women and riding bikes and you know, create in the cultural environment a bit more support, just normalising that discussion. You know, Noni Hazelhurst talking about how she didn't actually know how to ride a bike when she was cast for Monkey Grip, and just women beginning to realise that they don't have to be an expert to start thinking about bike riding. And then what we've done in the last 12 months is expand into excursions and learning programs, which are basically just excursions, short trips we take around a city, about a 12K ride with about 4 stops. So we're never really riding far. We're just kind of going from one destination to another. And it's curated by another high-profile woman of some note in the community. And she just kind of does what she would normally do in an afternoon on a bike. Like, she might go to her favourite supermarket, or it might go to an op shop. And that women, after doing that, they realise, they kind of get it. Like, it can just help me get around in a way that's sort of not really any kind of issue. And they share that experience with other women, and they talk about it, and they feel really supported in that environment. So, yeah, so that's something we sort of extend upon. And then with the learning, it's just offering the same sort of thing to women who don't really have much confidence and they're not ready to go out on the roads yet. So we sort of teach them to ride in an off-road environment and then build up their confidence slowly in off-road paths. So that's the program as it stands at the moment.
So this is a year-round program?
Yeah, no, well, the speaking event happens in March, and then we sort of work in partnership with other funding organisations or local councils to deliver the other learning and excursions throughout the year.
So if people want more information about what you do in Melbourne, how can they find that out?
they can go to our brand new beautiful website, which is www.thesqueakywheel.com.au.
Okay. It's been terrific hearing from you in Melbourne today, Pip. Thanks very much for your time. So thesqueakywheel.com.au.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Let's move into New South Wales and Bicycle New South Wales. Your program for women is called Gear Up Girl, and you've got an event coming up very shortly in March.
We do. We've got our annual Gear Up Girl event coming up on the 9th of March. That will probably see close to around 1,000 women riding from Homebush, which is Sydney Olympic Park, down to the beach in Cronulla. So they've got a few different ride options, 20, 40 or 60 kilometres. We've been running that ride for a number of years, just in different locations. So we're really excited about this year's ride. In the lead up to Gear Up Girl, we're about creating an environment to learn. So we have Gear Up Girl workshops. So we've had a couple of those in the lead up to, and we'll have a few more throughout the year.
And what are some of the things that women most want to know from these workshops that you run?
A lot of it's the same kind of thing. They want to know how to change a flat tyre. Uh-huh. They want to know a little bit about their own bike and feel a bit more comfortable. And on the bike, they want to know things like about changing gears and also, as Jan talked about, just riding in traffic and riding with other people. So we run through things like that at the workshops.
Okay, so that's Gear Up Girl. More information, go to Bicycle New South Wales website?
Yes. Terrific. And there's a link there to the Gear Up Girl website.
I've really appreciated you being part of our discussion today.
No problem.
Hope you had fun.
Thanks.
Donna Little there from Bicycle New South Wales. And finally in Queensland, Jan Stevenson, what is Cycleway? That's your own private company.
Yes.
But you offer programs throughout Bicycle Queensland and elsewhere.
Yes, Bicycle Queensland had the opportunity, they were given a grant from Brisbane City Council to increase the level of cycling of female participants into large participation rides as well as just everyday riding. And so we've got a program that started in September last year, and we have maintenance, but like Donna said, they love the maintenance courses, fill up immediately our maintenance courses because 2 hours of changing dirty, they get dirty, they change tyres, they learn about their brakes, not to adjust them, just where they are. And the fact that on the side of the rim of the tyre tells you what the
pressure
PSI
should be,
is,
yes.
and the size of your tyre, all these really simple things that many of us take for granted. We also have, we teach about bike equipment, so what should you have? Not saying what you have is wrong, just maybe if you're going for something different. If you're doing this particular activity, this is the equipment you might need. Commuting, that's another thing, because I'm a commuter and I want to see more girls out there with me commuting. And also about just purely and simply we go for loop rides. So making sure that they get some people to, we get some people together, we have 10 people, we have one of us at the front, one of us at the back, and then we lead them to a coffee shop, basically. and then we sit there in our orange shirts and we talk about how great we are as Cycle Away, but we want them to talk about the next ride.
Mm. Well, it's great. And have you got any particular sort of events or programs coming up that people should know about shortly?
Bicycles has gone on the 1st of March. There's three events on the 1st of March. The first one in the morning is the bicycle equipment. Then we've got the 2 hours of the bicycle maintenance. And then in the afternoon, we've got the 1 hour of commuting. That's that particular one. But the big one we've got coming up is the 26th of April, which is a half-day seminar. It's going to be held in the Botanic Gardens, and that's going to cover lots of things, cycling with kids, cycling on bigger participation rides like Bicycle Queensland's one that's coming up, our fantastic...
Cooper Challenge and the Great Brisbane Bike Ride. Yep.
So trying to get people to actually think, I can do that. And we've even got another ride where we're going to take some folks and say, you know, if you're thinking about doing CQ, come and ride with us and we'll do the sales pitch at the end.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time today. So there's lots of great programs, certainly in the East Coast, and no doubt there's stuff in Western Australia, South Australia, and maybe even Tasmania and the Northern Territory too.
Let's hope so.
Thank you, Andrew. You didn't say much at all.
I had a couple of anecdotes up my sleeve, but I think we're pretty much out of time. But for me, the key is women being taught by women in this whole process. Yeah. And Donna talked about, you know, how it's hard for partners to share information with each other. Women don't really want to learn from their husbands. They find that difficult. And so being taught by women is by far the better way to learn, is what we've found.
Thank you all for your time today. It's been terrific.
You're listening to Weekends with Peter Scott.
You were listening to Andrew Damack from Bicycle Queensland. There was Pip Carroll from Victoria. She's with the Squeaky Wheel organisation in Melbourne. Donna Little is from Bicycle New South Wales, has the Gear Up Girl program. And Jan Stevenson, who provides the Bicy Gals program in Queensland.